Hey, welcome to the Crossing Church podcast. You're about to listen to a message from one of our recent meetings, which we trust will bless you. If you're wanting to know more about The Crossing, you can follow us on our social channels or visit thecrossing.org.za. Now lean in and be encouraged by Jesus as you hear his word for you today. You can also drop us a mail at forhim@thecrossing.org.za. The Crossing Church, Christ in us, Christ through us.
Wonderful. Great word, Jonas. Loved it. It was super. I love the reaction of the people towards it afterwards and just the changed lives that happened through the obedience to his word. So following on, I brought two sets of messages that I typed out thinking that that's what God might use tonight. So I've ditched both of them and I'm going this way. So help me, Lord. Would you turn to Genesis 24? Genesis 24. I love the Old Testament. When you look at it and you see the shadow of the cross over the scriptures, because the New Testament is the revelation of the truth, but hidden in the Old Testament is the shadow of the truth. And when you see the cross over the Old Testament, it lives, it shines, it brings truth. And so what I'm going to talk about now is the bride of Christ and her work, her following the Lord, following the Holy Spirit. Genesis 24 is telling us actually what the Holy Spirit is doing with us right now. How do you follow the bride? How do you follow the Holy Spirit? How does the church respond to what's going on? And so here is an account, but it's taking different names, Abraham, Isaac, and all those people's names. But if we put onto that New Testament names, we get a different picture of what's going on. So let me just give you this. Verse 1, now Abraham was old, advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in every way. Abraham said to his servant, the oldest of his household, who had charge of all that he owned, please place your hand under my thigh, that I will make you swear by the Lord God of heaven and of the earth that you shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I live. Four characters. Forget about placing your hand, it's like a handshake in those days. Abraham here is God himself. The servant is the Holy Spirit. Take a wife, that's the church, for my son Jesus. And in fact, the son is Isaac. So here we have what he's telling the Holy Spirit to do on earth right now, is to find out a bride for the son Jesus, to find the church for whom the son Jesus is. You'll go to my country and to my relatives and take a wife for my son Isaac, verse 4. The servant said to him, suppose the woman is not willing to follow me to this land. Shall I take your son back to the land from where he came? Abraham said to him, beware that you do not take my son back there. He's been once and that's it. Where's he been once? Well, when we see that Abraham took Isaac up on the mountain and wanted to sacrifice him, it's on the same mountain which Jesus was crucified. He survived that whole thing. And now that's Genesis 22. This is 24. So it goes on beyond the cross into exactly where we are right now. And he says, you'll not go back there. But if the woman is not willing, verse 8, to follow you, then you will be free from my oath. Only you will not take my son back there. In other words, servant, you've got one chance. My son's been once, he's not coming back. And when he does, it'll be in the heavens. It's the second coming. And that's when, at the end of this chapter, you find that the bride actually meets Jesus in the field, not in heaven, not on anywhere else, not on earth, but up in the field. And Jesus is always in the field because the fields are white unto harvest. That's where he's always at. He's always at the place where souls are being won, where the testimony of this gospel is going out. And that's where it's at. So what happens here? So the servant placed his hand under his thigh and he commanded. He did that. And so this whole story, and this not a story, it's a genuine thing. It's how we, the church, would respond to the Holy Spirit. And I just love the way the servant interacts with humanity, the way he advances, the way he engages with people, and how he finds Rebecca, the type of church, at a well, and starts leading her to the point. So the whole purpose of this is, how do we as people follow the Holy Spirit? What is he doing with us? He is with us. He is selecting from among all nations a bride for Jesus. Verse 10, the servant took 10 camels from the camel of his master and set out with a variety of good things of his master in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia to the city of Nahor. 10 camels with a variety of goods from the master's house. Who are the 10 camels? They're the 10 commandments. He takes that's what first came out, isn't it? The 10 commandments are there. And they're fully laden with all kinds of gifts and jewels and things that are there. And we might say that on those 10 camels, it also carried the future moves of God. And none of the bundles or anything is mentioned on what these camels were carrying ever fell off the camels. But some people think they did. Because some people think the Holy Spirit's fallen off the camel. And sometimes things, divine healing's fallen off. We'll chuck that off. That thing, we really don't need it. And maybe, you know, the second coming's fallen off. We don't want to talk about that. It's never preached out there today. We don't hear anything about the second coming when we should be. Because if it's repent, the kingdom of God's at hand. You know what? It's Jesus coming. And the Holy Spirit needs to turn around. You need to repent because he's coming back soon. It's the same bugle call that John the Baptist had about Jesus coming. The church need to have that same call about he's coming another way. And that changes people's lives. I remember when I was first saved in the 70s. I remember that message being preached so often because Amy Simple McPherson, the Four Square Church, preaches Jesus the Savior, Jesus the Healer, the Holy Spirit, and the Second Coming. That's the Four Square Gospel that was preached. It still is. And so that's why that message of the Second Coming was so vibrant out there. I remember sitting outside saying to my wife there, sitting on the lawn on the farm, and I was looking up in the clouds, and I said, Jesus, come now. I don't want to wait. Come now. You said you're coming. You're coming. Come now. And I didn't want to go to sleep. I don't know, weeks I didn't want to sleep in case I missed him. You know, I wanted to be ready. That was the edginess of life and how exciting it was that he's coming back. And when you read this, I tell you, that's the hope of glory. I mean, the South African needs to hear it. That there is a second coming. That he is coming back. And I love the way Abraham says, but whatever it is, my son is not coming back. In other words, Holy Spirit, you've got one chance to select, and choose a bride for my son. Make sure it's right. And the Holy Spirit says twice, what happens if she doesn't want to follow? And that's the question that actually happens to us. What happens if you don't want to follow what God is doing? Or you say, well, I don't like this church. I don't like that camel. I don't like this. The question is, what happens? And I love the one translation that uses the word peradventure. So on this adventure, perhaps peradventure, she will not follow. What do I do? My mission's failed. Oh, Abraham, I don't want to mess up. Lord God, you sent me on a mission of one thing. I don't want to mess it up. I want to please your son. And that is who the Holy Spirit is. So nothing fell off those things. Nothing like the second coming, just shall live by faith, divine healing, water baptism. No bundles fell off. The carries camel everything. The servant made sure they were tied on. Verse 11, he made the camels kneel down outside the city by the well of water in evening time, the time when women go to draw water. And then he prays, O Lord, God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today. Show loving kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, I'm standing by the spring, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming down to draw water. Now may it be that the girl to whom I say, please let down your jar so that I may drink, and who answers, drink, and I will water your camels also, may she be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I'll know that you have shown loving kindness to my master. So he gets there and he says, Lord, show me. He's dependent on God himself. I love the way it says it's where the woman come down to draw water in the evening time. And then it says, the one where the daughters of men of the city are coming to draw water, verse 13. It's kind of a two things here. They come down in the evening when it's cool, so when they get home, they're not all hot like midday base stuff. But they're the daughters of the men of the city. And when I read that, I think, so what were these? Were these pastors' congregations, the men of the city leading congregations where the daughters come down? And they are the ones that he's looking for, the bride of Christ. So he's looking for churches and churches, the churches that would be obedient. And obviously some churches aren't, because one bride is chosen and there are other daughters of the city that were not chosen. And so here, so there seems to be a division of the wheat and the chaff. And you can, I don't want to go into it doctrinally, but it's interesting that there well is the only reason why a city exists in those days. If there's no water, you don't live, especially there. Can I say this, that the reason why cities exist is because churches are there. And would it be that the churches have the waters of salvation that change a city, that causes a city to live in a different dynamic to what they survive in? And these daughters come down to draw the water. And the one that gives him a drink, so let's read on. Before he had finished, verse 15, speaking, behold, Rebekah, who was born of... The girl was very beautiful, virgin, and no man had any relations with her. And she went down to the spring and filled a jar and came up. Then the servant ran to meet her and said, please let me drink a little from the jar. So there was a test. She went down, came up, and he ran up to her because he had been drawn to her. You know, I think the Holy Spirit is attracted to us more than we realize. This salvation has happened. He's seeing if who would follow and be obedient. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what his spirit is saying. And so obviously his other daughters, they'd gone down and draw water, but he didn't run up in excitement to her. He didn't run up and get it, you know, this is the one, this possibly could be the real one. It's not. I don't want to go into the whole thing about doctrine, so there's only one church that's going to go. But there's the attraction, that's what I'm getting, the Holy Spirit being attracted. Are you the one? Would you let me drink? And her response was, please let down me drink from your water jar. Verse 18, she said, drink, my Lord. And she quickly lowered a jar to her hand and gave him a drink. Now, when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw also for your camels until they have finished drinking. You know, Matthew 5:17 says, the law and the prophets are satisfied by Jesus. He fulfilled them. And so here is this one, when you get full salvation and revelation of who the Holy Spirit is, you satisfy the law, you satisfy the Ten Commandments, you're obedient to the Word, you have the conviction of the Spirit in you. And have you ever thought of watering 10 camels? That's a single hump, one tank. If they've got a two humps, that's a reserve tank attached. And how much is that? And she was saying, I'll do this for you. She says, I'll fill your camels. And can you imagine what the other daughters were saying by the well? Who does she think? She's nuts. Does she know how long that's going to take? It's going to kill her. That's too much. There's all these excuses of, you know, not doing it, but she volunteered. What does that say about this kind of bride that wants to follow him? I think it's number one, it's the church that's willing to serve and do what God's called it to do. You know, we talked last night about extending the hand, the resurrection power, signs, wonders, and miracles and stuff. Yeah, we can go along and just be members of church, but there's the church that serves and does the Great Commission that Yana so well explained tonight. It's actually doing what God has called it to do. I love the way the word believe in Jesus Christ is not just a sort of, what do they call it, an adverb to who he is. It's actually believing into Jesus Christ. It's doing, going into what he is doing. It's being a part of who he is. It's a part of his life, not an attachment to. It's like, here he is and we'll just go alongside. No, it's actually a blending into who he is. And that's why he's given us these things that we can be a part of what he's called us to. And so she does this. She gives him a drink and she says, I'll water your camels. She, verse 20, says, she quickly, notice the verbs here, she quickly emptied her jar into the trough and ran back to the well, and she drew for all her camels. Meanwhile, the man was gazing at her in silence to know whether the Lord had made his journey successful. I love that verse, and I love the verse 20, first part of it, verse 20. She quickly, there was an urgency about what she did. There's an urgency at the moment in South Africa. There's an urgency to get this gospel out. There's an urgency to where the truth of the Word of God is there. The Bible is celebrated. My son-in-law today, Michael, went to some place in Pretoria where he was becoming a British citizen, and he had to swear allegiance to the Queen to become a British citizen. So he said this. He says, yeah, I had three choices. So I said, what do you mean? Well, he said, I could lay my hands on the Bible and swear allegiance. I could lay my hands on the Quran and swear allegiance to the Queen. Or I could just leave my hand free and just swear allegiance. And I said, what? You had three choices. And here she is. She is quickly serving. So he placed his hand on the Bible. Yeah. That's true allegiance. Some just say the thing because they're just saying the thing. Or some just don't want to put their hand and get involved with anything. But they'll just swear it because they want the passport. But there's no ownership. There's no sonship. There's no endorsement. There's no backup. There's no anything else. And how diluted has this whole thing come around? How could I ever believe for myself and my parents of Brit and Scott that that would ever come to a point where you can choose the Quran or this? What are you putting your hand on to swear allegiance to? And so this lady, she was willing to go beyond and be a part of what is going on here with the Holy Spirit, with this servant. She quickly ran and emptied a jar into the trough and ran back to the well to draw water. And she drew for all of his camels. So the challenge ahead is not how big the challenge ahead is. It's actually how quickly will you face that challenge. It's how quickly will we be obedient to pursue what our heart is leading us to. I think this bride here was the one that pleased him. And the second part of this is this verse here. Meanwhile, the man was gazing at her in silence. Some Bible says he was brooding, looking at her, wondering if she was the one. How's that for the Holy Spirit? He's watching you. I love to think that every day when I wake up, hear the birds sing at 4:30, they just go nuts at our house. And our friend that comes and just kind of helps in the garden, he says, you know why the birds are here? I said, no, why? He says, the presence of God's here. I said, amen. No, he said, I'm serious. I do all the gardens and I go around. And lucky, he's a good mate of ours, been with us 40. He says, no, it's because the presence of God's here. So I said, I believe you, Lucky. That's absolutely true. And so there's that wake up. They celebrate the dawn. It doesn't matter if it's cloudy, if it's still raining. And, you know, they celebrate it. And there's that joy of something new and afresh, even though they're cold and wet. There's something about the excitement of the kingdom of God that's got to grip us, even when it's not nice, what's going on around us environmentally. There's this joy, and there's the Holy Spirit standing there watching and says, yeah, she's the one. He's the one. That's the bride of Christ. That's the one that is quickly going to do that, even if the opposition is so big. And I love the way the one man says, so what did she do? She did three things. She went down, she got a pitcher full of water, and she came up. That's profound, isn't it? But the thing is, she went down. Yeah, it's humility. It's like down. It's like coming down to the front. I want to lose profile. Because when you collected water there, you didn't go down to the river. You went down to a hole in the ground. It's a desert. That's why there was a well. So you go down and you draw water. You lose profile of who you are above ground. Because you're willing to humble yourself below ground because of the purpose of what God's called you to. And then she comes up again holding this pitcher on her shoulder and pours it out, empties herself with what she's got. And the church needs that. I think we need to sometimes totally lose profile of me, my, I, selfish, oh, it's not nice, and all about me. You know that song, it's all about me, Lord. You know, they make a mockery of it on YouTube. It's all about me. It didn't go down well. I can't sing. But we need to lose that. It says it's all about you, not me, it's you. And willing to serve him. So getting active for him, putting your hand in the fire. She quickly did that. When the camels had finished drinking, the man took a gold ring, gold earring weighing 1/2 shekel and 2 bracelets for her wrists weighing 10 shekels in gold. And he says, whose daughter are you? Please tell me, is there room at your lodge in your father's house? The Holy Spirit's very, very intent, isn't he? He says, here's an earring. Why? Because, you know, when your faith comes by hearing and hearing, the earrings in your ear for hearing, I want to anoint your hearing with gold. You've heard me, you've come. And I want to put a bangle on your wrist because you not only heard me, you have done. Put your hands out there to serve the camel, to serve the Ten Commandments, to satisfy those things with the water of salvation. In other words, you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and strength, and you love your... The royal commandment satisfies all 10, because four of the first commandments of the first 10 commandments are all about God, who you are to Him. The other six are all horizontal about who we are to mankind. And if you want to satisfy the Lord, you just got to love Him and love people. The thing is, we need to love Him first before we love people, because we can't love people until we loved Him. And He realized that He's loved us. Because when He's accepted us and endorsed us, and you're the only person on earth at this time, you're one of a kind. There are no photocopies or any others out there. You're the only one. You're the best He has, with your name, born on that date, at that hour, at that second. You have a life. You are perfect. You're not a mess. You're not an accident. You're not a byproduct. You're not plan B. He's watching you. And when you know that... That's you, and God's watching you. You're the best He has. You're royalty, because He's touching you. It's heaven on earth through you. There's a difference. Doesn't matter what you're facing. Yeah, all things are possible when you get to that place. Is there somewhere I can stay? Here's the goal. Here's this. He begins to bless you. And I think that's the Holy Spirit. He wants to please the one. So He's preparing you right from that moment where you're saying, come to my home. You're welcome at my house. You can bring those 10 camel things with you. Those, you can come. See, God wants to not only touch your life, He wants to invade your house straight away. That's the economy of evangelism. He wants to get into your home. It's not about you alone. It's you and the home, but He wants to get in there. And that's how He invades. You're the only doorway into that property, and He's asking you straight away. He didn't say, how old are you? How are you doing? How's the day? You know, how's... No, He says, hey, can I come to your home? Is there enough food there for these things? And she says, yes. She said to him, the daughter, verse 24, we're going to miss out. Verse 33, we're going to go to. But when the food was set before them to eat, I said, I will not eat until I've told you my business. And He said, speak on. This is the head of the house. Now, verse 33 all the way over to verse 49 is a repeat of what's just happened. So we're not going to read it because you know it. Why? One thing. The Holy Spirit does not invent His mission and change His agenda. He does exactly what His agenda is, and He never adds to or takes away from what He's supposed to do. He is true to His purpose on earth. He is true to what He is doing. So He doesn't add on anything. He just repeats and tells everybody else why He's here. That's the gospel, isn't it? We don't add on to the gospel, reduce it and become, you know, tame gospel and people-sensitive gospel to certain things. And we can't say that because it's not politically correct. No, He just says it as it is. And that's how it is. He says, I was sent and this is what happened. And I've come to get my master and I'm in your house. So here we are. And so that's what the Holy Spirit's job is on earth. He'll never change it. He's not going to bring the sun back. He's looking for those that would satisfy the requirements of giving their lives purpose and fullness to heaven. So we get up to verse 50. Then Laban and Bethuel replied, the matter comes from the Lord, so we cannot speak to you, bad or good. Here is Rebekah before you. Take her and go, and let her be the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has spoken. Notice that household surrender to the whole thing. When Abraham the servant heard their words, he bowed himself to the ground and before the Lord. The servant brought out articles of silver and articles of gold and garments and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave precious things to her brother and to her mother. And then the men who were with them, and he drank and spent the night. And when they arose in the morning, he said, send me away to my master. Notice how the servant there, he just keeps blessing. You know, there are gifts and there are fruits of the Holy Spirit. And when you come a Christian, He begins to address you and adorn you with power and with authority, as you know, the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit. And these are kind of like outward articles of silver and gold, kind of illustrating what these gifts are. He wants you to be ready to meet a king. He adorns you. He knows exactly what you need. And He gives you these things because it's a sign of royalty upon you. That's why when the world looks at you and you're a church member and they say, you are different, you look different, There's something about you that's different. And that's exactly, we are different. When we recognize who we are and whose we are, there is a difference on our lives. He says, send me away. Send me away. The Holy Spirit wants to get out of here. He wants to take us. He's waiting for the Master to say, come now. But her brother and her mother said, let the girl stay with us for a few days. Say 10. Afterwards, she may go. He said to them, do not delay me since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away that I may go. And they said, we will call the girl and consult her wishes. Then they called Rebekah and said to her, will you go with this man? And she said, I will go. Question is tonight, will you go with this man? Will you follow the Holy Spirit? Will you do everything that he's called you to do, church? And this is not only a call to this church, it's to the churches of the world. The churches who feel that they are called by the Bride of Christ. It takes away whether, oh no, we're Methodists, no, you're Dutch Reformed, no, you are this. It's got nothing to, will you go with this man? The Holy Spirit. And this thing about going with the Holy Spirit is our choice to say, yes, I will. Because that's what she says. She says, I will go. And that's where we are now. We are going with him. He's leading us. He's leading the Bride of Christ. He's leading churches, pastors. He's leading us. So what happens when he's leading us? Thus they sent away their sister Rebekah and their nurse with Abraham's servant and his men. They blessed her. May you, sister, become thousands of 10,000s. Yeah. What's happening to her is happening to thousands of 10,000s, and that's a small amount. And may your descendants possess the gate of those who hate them. Then Rebekah arose with her maids, and they mounted the camels and followed the man. So the servant took Rebekah and departed. Aha! Maybe we're on those camels too, because we're following like the bride. What's a camel like to ride? You've been on one? You've been on one? Yeah, they're not nice. They're not like a horse. They're like an elephant. You know, they 2 feet this side, 2 feet that side. That's how they walk. They're not like alternate. So they're kind of nice. It's like, it's horrific. And guess what the world's like today? Is it a nice ride in the world today? Are we enjoying the ride, what the world is offering? Eskom. It's lekker, isn't it? It's a nice camel we're riding at the moment. And guess what? I don't know how long the journey is because it doesn't tell you. She just went. And I don't know how long he had to get to her or how he had to get her back. But it's a long journey. And I love to think it this way. We're on this camel and whatever comes our way, whether the ride or where it is, you get scratchy, you get itchy, you get sore, you get desert sick, seasick, ships of the desert, the camels. So it's not comfortable. It's not, oh, so nice on a coach being drawn. No, you're part of a procession to get to the possession of what you're looking for. And Christianity is not just a comfortable, easy, everything's going to be. Actually, you enter into a fray, you go into a desert, as you do there, and you travel all day. And you know what? You lined up behind camels, and camels, they slobber one end and they the other end. And you're in possession. So sometimes it's stinky out there, and it's hot, and it comes to nighttime, and you get off, and you're stiff, and you're like, how can I? And you sit down and it gets cold at night in the desert and there's a fire made there and whatever happens, you sit around the fire. I don't know how many firelights you sit around out in the desert, how many days you travel, up mountains, down valleys. That's life, friends. But you know what? The Holy Spirit is leading. Because who's at the front? The servant. There's one thing the servant is doing all the time and he's never stopped. He's telling you about who you're going to meet through this. That's what we've got. He's telling us about Isaac. He's telling us about Jesus. Around the fireside at night. Awesome. Leans across. And there's not only the blaze of fire and the firelight in his eyes, but there's another fire inside of him. He leans across to him and says, my Lord is like this. Maybe in the early morning as they mount up on the camels, good morning. My Lord is doing this. The whole time he's instructing. You think it's going to be nice things? No, he's saying, he doesn't like that. Or no, you can't do that. It won't please him. The Holy Spirit is just doing one thing, and that is counseling us the whole time, if we're listening, to get to him. Because there are a few things that he says to him when he gets there, and some of them I don't know, but I want to know. Because when I get there, I'll ask him, and so will you. But the whole time he's talking. And not only that, he says, you'll need this today. Put this robe on. You look like a princess suddenly. Well, if you're a man, you look like a prince. And yeah, profound. Yeah, because I'm just getting the guys think, well, I'm not part of this. You know, I'm a guy and I'm not a bride. I'm just like, well, at least you got it, huh? But there's something that he's giving. The whole time he's handing out stuff. And by the way, that Holy Spirit and the water baptism and the divine healing, he's teaching her. He's taking her through those things. Because the entourage that's adding onto this the whole time is being taught by her. Ah, you know what? That's what he does. Ask him. Holy Spirit, that's it. That's exactly what he said, that. And so that's how we interact with others that are part of this great bride. So you're not the only one that's in silence, only being instructed. You're partaking of what's going on. You're being part of the process where thousands of 10,000s are going on with you. I love this part. Then Rebecca rose, the maids, and went to... Now, verse 62. Now, Isaac had come from going to Beer Leroy, that thing, for he was living in the Negev. Isaac went out to meditate in the field towards evening. Hey, you think Jesus is in heaven? No, I think he's out there where the revival and evangelism is. He hasn't got to heaven. He's now, I'm not going to meet you there. I'm going to meet you halfway. I'm going to meet you at the very places where you can identify yourself. Because if you really want to see me, you'll find me in the fields of harvest. If you really want to see signs, wonders, miracles, and stuff happening of who I really am, this resurrection power, because I'm resurrected from the dead. I survived that mountain knife thing up on the hill where my dad, Abraham, was going to sacrifice. No, a ram came out, and I'm alive. I'm resurrection condition. You want to see me? Just start winning souls. That's where I am. That's where he is. And so, went out in the field to meditate, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, camels were coming. Verse 64, Rebekah lifted up her eyes. Notice they both lifted their eyes. And when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from the camel. She said, I'm off this thing. I reckon when you see Jesus, he says, I'm out of here. Right? So, okay, you've got it over there. No one else has. I'm out of this thing. She said to the servant, who is that man walking in the field to meet us? Just checking. The servant said, look at these words. He is my master. See who the Holy Spirit just wants to please? That he is my master. He's the one that I did all this for. You're the reason. She took her veil and covered her face. The church, I don't know, somewhere there is enjoys being a mystery to him. The servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. That's the verse, verse 66. So the servant walks up to Isaac. Holy Spirit comes to Jesus at that time. He says, hey, Jesus, you know what? I hope I'm pleasing you. I hope this bride, the church that's in the clouds coming to meet you, you're going to be pleased. I tell you what, she was easy to lead. There were a few moments where she wanted to get off the camel. Many have. We left them in the desert. I didn't turn back. Some got off because they found it a bit hard. Some dumped it because of this. Some got offended with each other and left. And others didn't want to put stuff on because they didn't see themselves being good enough and worthy enough to be adorned, to be the queen, to be the bride of you. They left too. But these that have come, you're going to love them. Now Isaac, the servant told, then Isaac brought her into his mother's Sarah's tent and took Rebekah and she became his wife. And he loved her. So that's the end of the story. That whole chapter is so beautifully knit around the Holy Spirit and the church. And the question is tonight, with all of us, will you follow him? I know sometimes we say, yeah, I'll follow him, but follow him. That's my cry to you. Don't give up. Don't fall back. Don't try this or try that. When things are going wrong, don't get off. Stay on. You know, there's no perfect camel. There's no perfect ride. There's no perfect desert road. Not every well has got the purest water en route. And not every fire is going to blaze a flame all night and give you protection from hyenas and wolves and foxes and scorpions that are out there that want to sting you. Things that want to dig up the root of your foundation, little foxes that spoil the vine, little things that will destroy your faith. No, you just stay close to Him. And you just put your blanket next to the Holy Spirit at night, because He just lies down and looks at the stars, because that's who He's all about. Amen. So I'm going to ask us if maybe you want to make a little adjustment in your lives, like Yannis has already done one, but I think the Holy Spirit is prompting us. When he speaks to Jesus, the Master, I wonder what he says. Does he say, "Mission accomplished, Lord. I found you one. I found your bride. Abraham, she's perfect." And I know this, it's hard to live up to that perfection, but maybe just by positioning ourselves tonight, you just want to say, "Okay, I just do want to come down. I'm willing to take that picture and go down." Maybe you can call this down here and just take a moment and say, "Lord, I just want to realign, readjust, reconfirm, affirm that I am going to be the one that's going to follow you. I'm not going to quit." And if there's somewhere along the line that you think you've been like a prodigal son and daughter and just kind of wandered off, you know, you're a bit late getting on the camel that morning, and you're always late on the camel. You're never late. You're late coming to, I don't know, church, whatever. It's just that laziness. Just realign back into that whole thing. And so be easy to lead. Be willing to follow. Be exciting to listen to the things of God. Ask the Holy Spirit questions. So tell me about Him. What does He love? What does He do? Tell me, when He multiplied the food out there, how did He do it? Because when you ask questions to the Holy Spirit, He's there to answer, because He was there. And He'll tell you about Him. Reading the New Testament, every miracle, sign, and wonder, I like getting into the moment. I like jumping into the moment. You know, He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So you can get into His yesterday, today. So that you understand His forever. How? By faith. Saying, "Lord, you multiplied those fish. I want to smell the fish. I want to see the lake. I want to look at their faces. And I want to see your disciples and what they were asking. I want to be there. Show me, Lord, by faith." Yeah. And it's amazing who He, the Holy Spirit, will say, "Hey, Kia, you thought of this when you read that? Have you thought of this when you read that?" I tell you what, go and read the J.B. Phillips translation, or go and read the Voice Bible translation. And if you really want to know a little bit more, go and read the Amplified version, because in there, there's a way it's saying it. And I want you to get why they said it, because that's something I want you to know about why that happened. You know what? It's so exciting reading the Bible. I don't know. I cannot read anything else. It's just so amazing what's in that Bible. And yeah, I've been serving God 40, I mean, the first preach I ever did in Peter Maritzburg was on healing the leper. I picked a hard one, you know, healing the leper, healing leprosy. And I'll never forget, I preached it. I came to the end, I was panting, and everyone was just sitting there looking at me, and I was like shell shocked. You know, one of those moments like, sheesh, now what happens, you know? But I've read that again, I don't know how many times, and man, has it just opened. The Holy Spirit wants to lead you. Lord, tonight I just pray that your anointing, you, the Holy Spirit, would be with us as we journey, because we know that we are going to meet you, Lord Jesus, in the clouds. We're not out of here because we have to get out of here. We're not looking for an easy exit. But Lord Jesus, we do know that it is a process, and that we are being changed as we ask and learn more about you. Lord, every gift you give us is for a purpose. It is to help us become more effective in the harvest fields where we'll meet you. It'll be more effective to be more of a good Christian, of learning your truth. And Lord, would you adorn us bit by bit as we walk with you tonight and beyond. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.